October 25th, 1985, the concepts class, and this is the last class. The gateway to your higher self is through your heart with Lil. Just take a minute to relax into your bodies and take a few deep breaths. Begin to let the tension flow out of you, if there is any, or the hurriedness. And then begin to visualize or sense that white light flowing gently into your crown chakra from your higher levels. And allow that light to flow smoothly and evenly through your spine, flowing gently downward. And as it reaches your hips, it branches and flows gently down both of your legs and out the bottoms of your feet and into the center of the earth. Draw your attention to your heart center and begin to allow your energy to focus in your heart. And then take a deep breath. Slowly open your eyes. Come on in, Donnie. That's okay. There's a sliding sheet over there someplace, I think. This is our last class. I just can't believe that 6 weeks have gone by already. It just seems like it went so fast. I know. Let's not talk about that. Oh, let's see. Does anybody know if Claudia or Joan or Jim and Debbie are coming tonight? Anybody have any contact with them? She missed last time, so, and I've tried to reach her and couldn't. Okay, well, maybe she'll come. I've got some tapes for a couple of people. That was one thing I wanted to ask about. Okay, I want to ask, first of all, if any of you have any questions or anything that happened this week that you'd like to share that might have been at all connected with last week's class. I will tell you, the moon is in Pisces, so anything goes for a few days. And I mean anything. Tonight, as I was getting ready, I mean, my kitchen was a total disaster. Kirsten dropped a whole jar of juice on the floor. It just leaped out of her hands, literally. I saw her. She had her hands around the jar, and I just went, and it did not just break. It shattered. There were tiny shards of glass everywhere, so we spent a whole hour cleaning up. So I hope nobody gets glass tonight. And yesterday or Wednesday when I taught class at the foundation, everything was real strange in San Luis. We had people jumping on the car. We saw a bicyclist get bumped off, not hurt real severely, but bumped off his bike, and people cutting wildly across three lanes of traffic. It was just, bananas. So if things like that have been happening, you're right in the flow.
When's it going to be over?
Probably in about 24 more hours. I think it's been in Pisces for a couple of days now. What is it? Move through the signs every 3 days? Or something like that. 3 or 4 days? I forgot. Oh, I love your socks, Donnie. Those are great.
The moon's in Pisces.
I have some Argyle onesies like that. That's right.
You should have seen her last night.
Oh, well, it was worse yesterday, I think.
Oh, it was.
Or more intense. It wasn't worse. It was more intense. Oh, anybody have any questions or anything you'd like to share?
<Excuse me>?
I'll probably be doing that. It's been really really busy, hasn't it? Or something. Things seem very speeded up or close together. That's the way it felt. You can identify with that?
Yes. Okay. It's madness on me.
Yeah. Around a lot.
Every time I do, I fall asleep. I mean, I just...
You get into the
so
energy
exhausted.
And it really relaxes you. Well, when the moon's in Pisces, people are not very grounded. They're just out of their bodies in airy fairyland, so anything could happen. The other question I wanted to ask you as a class is there anyone here who's planning or who would like to take the techniques class the next time that it's offered or in the spring? I'd kind of like to get an idea of that. We're getting ready to formalize our class schedule for winter, and that the next series will be taught in January if we have enough people. And if not then, the next series will fall in the spring, which would be March or April when it would start.
For anybody who doesn't know, so. Techniques is a really...
An anthem.
Yeah, techniques is...
That was my next line.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It's really special. It's a process by which it was channeled by the woman who... One of the founders of the foundation. And it was channeled information. She's got some really beautiful teacher guides that are really loving. And they gave the foundation, they gave basically the world these techniques. They're really special. And therefore, actually like hanging out with and balancing each one of your chakras. And it's taught in 12 weeks. It's taught in a really loving, silly way. Because one of the commitments, like they want you to take a class like this or something first, because when you start doing this, your life starts to change. And it really is special. It really is a neat class. And it's like, it's just this kind of the beginning of really shifting into more into the energy and understanding. It's a really neat process, but you really have to be ready, interested in doing that.
It is a commitment.
It is a commitment, but it's also really neat because you really get to hang out with the energy and with, you start to learn about it. And because they make you move energy and do different things and stuff, and then later you start becoming more aware of what energy is and the subtleties and different things. It really is a great class.
Yeah. It really is transformation. Your life will really begin to move and shift and change and all. Your old stuff will come up to be looked at. But like Ro was saying, it's in a real loving setting, and you're with another group of people, and there's really a bond that gets created between the people in the class. So it's a neat thing.
Is there something required, like a journal or something?
You're required to keep a journal. It's a suggested requirement. It's not mandatory. You don't have to come and read it, you know, or anything like that. It is private, and you're also required to attend all 12 classes. And if you have to miss one, it's up to the class as to whether or not you'll be readmitted. Because once the energy is formed and bonded, there's a real hole that's left when one of us is not present at that class. I would say Wednesday night. That's the night it's been on almost forever. So.
Here in town?
I'm not sure about that yet. Probably it'll be at the foundation in San Luis, but we haven't made a firm commitment about that. And it's 12 weeks, and it's $105. So, okay. So, is anybody considering that class at this point? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, good. That's what I need.
I would
6.
consider offering my house if.
Oh, all right, Jenny.
If it was in town.
Okay. And where you live in?
Just right around.
Oh, you're right here. Town, I keep forgetting that.
Just built it too.
Oh, how exciting! That sounds wonderful. Yeah. Well, I'll keep that in mind.
Okay.
Thanks.
I'm going to write that down. Where are the pens?
Typical for today.
I've got one.
Yeah, pass me that one. That'll work.
Excuse me.
Okay. Sonia's not here tonight either, so I'll have to give her this at another time. All right, well, what we're going to talk about tonight is the last concept in the group of 12, and it is the gateway to your higher self is through your heart. And you've heard me and you've heard Ro talk a lot about heart energy, heart chakra energy. And so this final concept, the gateway to your higher self is through your heart, is kind of a way of focusing everything that we've talked about over the last 5 weeks. Because your higher self, your higher levels, your soul level, is the perfect, unconditional, non-judgmental, totally accepting, completely loving state. And you are connected to that part of yourself through the heart, through that loving energy, which is the heart chakra. So when you tap into that heart level, it's easy to reconnect or to reestablish conscious ties with your higher self. And that's why we say that the gateway to your higher self is through the heart. It's through the heart. It's not through your mind or through your emotions or what you're thinking, anything like that, but through the heart. And when you make, you know, when you connect with that energy, think about how we felt in those healing circles that we've done at the end of class a few times, what that feels like, how peaceful, how harmonious. That's what that energy feels like, and you can recreate that in your own life anytime that you choose. It doesn't just have to happen here in class, but you can take the techniques that we've learned and the energy that's been brought into class each week and recreate that in your own life at any particular time. And as you begin to do that in your life, you'll begin to get what we call the knowing of the truth about yourself, which is that you are your own healer. You do create your own reality. You are an unlimited, wondrous being of light. You're multidimensional. And the more that you have the knowing within yourself, the more connected you'll begin to sense that you are to your higher levels and to that wisdom, that inner knowledge that we're all looking for. It's really there inside of us. It's not out here or in another person or in a book or in a teacher or anything like that. It's really right here within us. And then you've heard us talk about using your intent, by your intent, to allow your heart to open. You don't have to think about it so much or, you know, try and pry it open or anything, but just by your intent, just by saying, I am allowing that expansion to occur, however you want to say that, you begin to expand your heart and your whole energy field will expand and shift. Your creativity, your joy will be more present than if you're in a real mental state or your energy is real contracted and narrow feeling. So you don't have to work at it too hard. Just intend that your heart's going to be open and that expansion will immediately begin to happen for you. I keep having to go like this. Feels funny. Let's see. Another thing I wanted to mention tonight, I think I mentioned it during the course of the class, but I'm not really sure, and that is the idea of taking your mind to your heart. When you realize that you're becoming extremely mental or you're just intellectualizing everything and trying to figure it all out and work it out and everything, in order to relax that process and allow your energy to expand, just think about your mind dropping into your heart, or you can think of it as your mind kind of stepping aside or lifting out of you, however that works best for you. It's real hard for some people to really think, oh, take my mind to my heart. It's kind of hard to do that, you might say. Again, that's something that you do by your intent. And just by intending that your mind is going to flow into your heart, the mental process will relax. Your mind's going to calm down. Your thought processes will have more clarity to them. They won't be just racing through willy-nilly and you're trying to keep up with the whole thing. And another interesting thing that usually happens when you can relax your mind is that your speech pattern will slow down. Your speech will slow down and be more clear, and you won't be just rattling off at the mouth. You know, you'll have something to say, and it will be something of consequence, usually. So your thought process will slow down, and it will change and become less regimented, less judgmental, less conditional. It just expands your mind. So if you can remember, oh, I'm really getting very mental with this. I don't have to. I'm not just mental. I'm not just a mental being. My mind is not the entire truth about me. And just allow that to flow into your heart. Your mind will calm down and allow you to have a broader view of whatever it is that you're working on. Allow you to see all the different points instead of just one. We've all been in a situation where you just, it's this way and that's it. You know, that immediately helps you expand. And you're able to listen to or to see whatever it is the other person is trying to share with you, or the possibilities for solving the problem if you're working on some kind of a problem. Even your car or something like that. That's something I've had to deal with a lot. I must have karma with cars and trucks because I've had tremendous strange things happen over the last 3 years in particular. And I tend to get real mental as soon as something happens, like a flat tire, trying to figure it out. You know, what do I do? If I just relax my mind and allow it to flow into my heart, my whole body shifts and everything, not just my mind, but everything, the tension that I got myself into. And you have more confidence. You know, that you can handle the situation.
Also, too, a lot of times if you don't buy into the situation,
yeah,
the situation shifts. Because I had, like, the worst thing that could happen to me in my car, and then not only that, but it was, I was driving home at 6 o'clock in the morning in the middle of nowhere, and I'm coming up from L.A. in my car, the front tire would never been set up in my little car, and power steering tire, if that ever went, it would be hard to control.
Uh-oh.
It just shredded. And it was no big deal, and I pulled it over, but I have, I guess, the world's worst jack. There was no way. It was going to
It's always good.
And it was freezing. I mean, it was, the wind was blowing, and it was so cold. And I was just in a little sweatsuit, and I had a baby in the car.
Gosh.
And then I have an auto code card. But okay, now what do I do? So I just flagged down the first car. This person's stopping. And they're so sweet. They're these wonderful Latin men. They were from Bolivia. And they insisted that I get back in the car because they're great chauvinists, you know. I love it. And because, you know, they're so into being gallant. And they're out there. They've been wrapped in their down sleeping bags in their motorhome. And they get out in the cold and they're out there wrestling with this thing. And they would not let me out of my car. And they would not let me give them anything for their services, you know. And I changed my tire and I went on my way. But it's like it happened. It's like, whatever. I mean, if worse comes to worst, I'll sit here until it gets warm. I'm not, you know. But you just, the whole...
Didn't
when you were talking
experience.
About
that's
that,
right.
I
yeah.
felt
fall
like
into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, fall with it.
It's like, if something happens to me, I know there's always a solution and I'll meet somebody interesting or something will happen, you know. And I just get real light with it. And it seems like everything just works real easy. It's not that big a deal. It's the things that I'm sensitive to that just snowball into
yeah.
something terrible, you know. It just gets worse. But if it's something I don't care about, then, yeah, you know, it just takes care of itself.
Yeah, one thing this will do, too, is it'll... recapture your sense of humor for you. Your mind sometimes can get very dogmatic and pragmatic and judgmental and everything. If you can let that hard energy help you shift that, your sense of humor will suddenly reappear. It's like tonight when the juice jar dropped, Kirsten went, ah! And I went, ah! We just kind of looked at each other, and she was expecting a real traumatic response from me because she knew it was like half an hour or an hour till you guys came, you know, and we hadn't even eaten dinner yet. And I just went, I don't believe that happened. It was all over. The entire floor was covered, and it was all over the walls and everything. What else can you do? You know, it doesn't do any good to... What'd you drop the jar for? How could you do that? You know?
Just enjoy it.
Well, we had to laugh about it, and we
yeah.
cleaned it up together. She felt so sorry that it happened, you know. You couldn't be angry.
What about...
Yeah.
If you're by yourself, you're not with somebody else, if you're by yourself,
yeah.
just like, can you repeat a chant or something in mind?
Yes.
Help?
I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. Mantras are extremely helpful. You don't even have to be verbal with them. You can just let it run through your mind. It immediately calms the mind, gives it something to do that kind of distracts it or entertains it, and it'll shift your energy and allow you to be more in your heart, less fearful, less anxious, tons of stuff. They're wonderful. There's a great class that Jeannie Lewis and Chip Movius teach at the foundation about chanting, the use of mantras, and the sound of the voice. And I recommend that if any of you ever are interested in that sort of thing. I think it's just called Chanting the Power of Your Voice or something like that.
Also,
it's easy to recognize in the messenger.
Also, too, if you like to sing, you know, there's great, like A Bridge Over Troubled Water, different songs that will click in at the right time of the word, good songs for what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Just sing. I like to sing in
my
car.
Yeah, I do that a lot. Singing.
Because it shifts you.
It does. It just lightens your energy. And I encourage my kids to do that because how can you be angry or crazy, you know, if you're singing? It just doesn't work. It does not work. Okay. So the more that you can love and accept yourself, the less anxiety is going to be in your life, the less tension, the less fear. You'll begin to really flow into the concept that where love is, fear cannot be. That's called grounding the concept in your life. You'll really begin to do that. And you'll have the knowing within you that that is the truth. It really is. It takes some time, but it can be attained. None of the things that I've shared with you in this class are unattainable. They're all attainable. That's the beauty of it. You just have to believe a little bit and open your heart to the fact that it is possible. Anything that you can conceive with your mind is possible in this dimension. It's so creative.
Yeah. And also find all the areas in your life, as she's talking, where you're giving up your power, where you're saying, well, but today I'm sick and this is real, or the person who I work for is a jerk. That's his problem, instead of, you know, this is the reality I'm creating in each moment. and keep reclaiming your power. And every time you shift the energy and take it back for yourself, you realize, I have a lot of power in this dimension. And you move beyond a lot of the fears that somebody could hurt you or that someone could do something to, you know, just, you know, the term as far as being screwed over or whatever, that you start reclaiming your power that you're co-creating. And every time you shift your energy into a love space, everything around you shifts. The people, and it gets to a point where it doesn't really affect you or come into your life, and you feel a lot more power and also a lot more freedom in the world.
Yeah, you know the term, the center of the cyclone? Sometimes I have that sense that if I can be very grounded and centered and really in my heart, you can truly be the witness or the detached observer to the cyclone that is whirling around you that we call life. You know, it really sometimes feels like that. And the more centered and grounded you can learn to become in your life, the more you can become that loving witness that whatever is going on around you is okay, and you have the choice to either be a part of that or to be detached and to just be real loving and centered. You have that choice. Let's see, the one other thing I was going to mention about mantras. Sanskrit mantras are based on particular syllables. They have a sound or a series of sounds that resonate with different parts of the body, and that's part of their power. And for my thinking, we in the Western world have our own mantras, and they don't have the same application as the Sanskrit or Eastern mantras, but I think they're just as useful. And I can, like, things like the Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm, any verse from any of your favorite books like the Bible or some other book that has really had an effect on you mentally or meant something in your life, that can be your mantra. When I was a child, I was always taught to make the sign of the cross, you know, and I mean, we did it dozens of times during the day. That was from the Catholic tradition, which is my background. And I found that really, I used that when I was terribly afraid. I'd go, Amen, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen, you know, over and over, or Jesus, Mary, Joseph, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, the names of the Holy Family. And I used to do that before taking a test or whatever, just to help me calm down, help my mind stop putting out nothing but fear and to relax. So in the Western world, we have, I think, certain things that people use in the same way that mantras are used in the Eastern world. And they work.
And then beyond that, if you get an opportunity to move in some of the Eastern mantras, they're so much fun because there's a real fine energy there. Sanskrit is not a spoken, it's not a language used to say, hi, how are you? It's only a language to worship. It's behind all our physical makeup is sound, is what's holding it together. Beyond that is light, which is creating the sound, which is resonating with certain sounds, which is creating our physical. So it really is, there's a certain mantra that supposedly if you chanted it right, you'd become enlightened. If you could actually get into the tone of that mantra, that's the Om Bhur Bhuvasavaha.
Yeah.
And so if you get a chance, those are fun too. Either whatever in the moment feels really good, but those are really fine, and it's nice to go sometimes to something that is really pure, is really loving, and yet isn't our language. And
right.
I think that really, to me, was the beauty of the original when the Catholic Church did it in Latin.
Yeah,
was to just move into the energy, the peacefulness of just hearing the something that goes beyond your known and moving into the energy. And I think it took people more into their own energy and their own presence when they did it in Latin than when they give a mental thing in English.
That's one way to look at it, yeah. All right. See, there was something else I was going to say about the mantras. What was that? Oh, I was just going to mention, I don't know how many of you know about Sai Baba in India. But I know, for those of you who don't know, he's a really great teacher. I call him an avatar on the earth at this time. He is in India. In fact, Diane, one of the co-founders of the foundation, just returned, and she got to see Sai Baba, and I understand that he came up to her in the crowd and touched her and talked to her personally and took her letters. A lot of us sent little notes with Diane, and she was going to give them to him. So that was really exciting to hear that he recognized her energy or somehow picked her out of, because there are hundreds, thousands of people there, and they're getting ready to celebrate his birthday, which is, I think, the 29th of November. So there's big preparations at his ashram. But anyway, what I was leading up to is he has his followers or his people who are in touch with Sai Baba in any way say or use mantras on a daily basis to calm the mind down and to begin to really expand the heart energy. And I mean, just do it all day long if you can, you know, if you're in. into that sort of
for
thing.
Anybody who's interested in that, I'm not a Sai Baba person, only because he's come back, he taught once, but he's teaching something this time, he says he's going to come back a third time. Well, right now, a lot of the things he teaches still sound like duality to me. He still, sometimes, he talks on different levels, but sometimes you'll hear him talking about evil, which I don't believe in, or masculine, feminine, which I don't believe in, except as a manifestation, as an expression of the whole. So he's, although he's not my teacher, here in town, in Atascadero, there's a woman who has, she's with Baba.
Mentioning that, I forgot.
She's with Baba now, and she's a just a neat lady, very special.
Very special.
Pat Grable, and she's does bhajans on, I think it's Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, and it's open to anybody, and it's free, and it's fun. She loves it, because she has a Catholic background, and she has the candles and the incense, and it's just everything, you know.
She feels really neat in her place.
It's really, and she's a very loving person, and you do get to do the Sanskrit bhajans, and they sing them, and, like, the person, the lead person will sing, make the men sit on one side and the women sit on the other. And someone will sing the bhajan, and then you repeat it back, and they'll sing it. And the first time, it's hard. And the second time, it's okay. About the third time, you start to get the thing of it. And then it's so much fun. It's a great meditation, and you'll find you do the bhajans all the time.
It's very joyous, and it'll just begin to flow in your life. It's a neat thing to tap into.
You won't feel the energy the first couple times, because you're struggling with something you've never... You know,
like remembering the sound and what the word is that comes next.
It's just too... It's word phrasing that you're not used to. But it's not that hard to learn what you learn. And it's fun. It's free. It's here in town. It's great energy. Anybody's interested in that.
Yeah. If you ever want to contact Pat, let me know, and I'll be glad to put you in touch with her or Rose.
Rose knows it, too.
Okay. So the final point about me being mental, or one of the final points, is just that when you're feeling mental or lacking love, just think about opening your heart. Because love is everywhere. There is no place that love is not. It is the basic truth about the beings that we are and about our natures. Love is everywhere. It is not unattainable in this lifetime. It's not unattainable. It really lies within us. Again, within us. Not without, but within. So all the love and peace that we're seeking really are already here, right within us. And then another thing I wanted to mention is, in your interactions with people, you can't really change people's minds or their belief structures, what they think. What you can begin to change, or how you can begin to reach them, is through the heart energy. So if you're talking to somebody and, you know, you're really going at it or whatever, shift your energy and begin to open your heart to that person and send them a lot of love from your heart. You'll see that the tone of your voice will shift, your words will soften, your body posture will probably soften. And they may not realize anything is happening, but they will receive the energy on a level that they can perceive, perhaps not consciously, but on their other levels they will have received it and will be conscious of it. So, you know, I've talked about, too, reaching for the energy that are beyond my words instead of going for my words. Reach for the energy that's present in the class, that's here within each of us, the love that we've all created together. And that's what you can do when you have to talk to other people. Go for the energy. If you're not able to make your point, just send them a lot of energy, or whatever, if there's a disagreement. That's a way to begin to open people's hearts to each other. Okay, so it's the heart energy that is loving and transforming, not mental energy. It's the heart energy. That's what's going to change this world. That's what's going to change the world. Not trying to change the way people or nations think or trying to make everybody have the same belief structure. It's that heart energy that will reach them and that will bring us more into a oneness. Okay, I talked about... I've got real strongly here. Don't settle for less than the total transformation of your life. I really mean that. It may sound very strong or whatever, but again, it's not unattainable. Everything that you see as suffering or lack or a need in your life can be resolved, can be transformed. Don't settle for less. You guys deserve it. You deserve it. And nobody else can do that for you. Only you can do that for yourself. And just to remind you that you do create from your beliefs about yourself, about others, about this life and the world, and about God, whatever you think of as the creator. And so remember to be the lover of yourself. That's what we are naturally, as lovers. Remember to love yourself. The more you can love yourself, the more you're going to have to give others, the more patience, the more understanding, the more strength, the more gentleness, peace, harmony, whatever, you name it. If you can give it to yourself first and really claim that for yourself, it'll just naturally flow from you into your world. It's like the ripple effect. When you drop a pebble into a still, clear pool and the ripples go out. Well, when you begin to drop that pebble of opening the heart chakra in your life, that will just expand and ripple out into all your relationships and into the world about you. Your animals will even sense it when your energy is different.
And also, too, sometimes when you start really consciously shifting, different things will come up. You go, oh, no, not this again. And sometimes things are going to start to come up for you. Now you're going to start coming up to heal them. And then you're not going to see them anymore. And when you really start to transform the energy, everything that you've been fearing or holding against yourself, like your own, the things that you don't really can't love and accept in yourself, may come up. And just really, if you can just love it and realize that there is nothing that cannot that can't be loved, and in that moment, that's the grace, and it's healed. Anything that, you know, it just changes. If you can just love it, and people, you know, people think there's certain things that aren't lovable and that can't be forgiven, and they can. If you can love yourself in that moment, say, I'm growing, and that's all there is. You know, I'm learning and I'm growing. And if I learned what that energy was like and it didn't feel good, then I can love that experience and move into the next thing. And if you can do that, then it just, everything starts changing, and some of those patterns won't come back.
Yeah.
Because you just transformed them.
And remember the business about making no comparisons, making no judgments. Do that for yourself, too. Don't compare yourself to who you used to be. You are now, in this moment. This is your PowerPoint. Not the past, not the future, but right now in this moment. So if you don't like who you were back then, send some love down the time track to that being. He or she did the best they could in that moment of time. And you're here now. That's how you can begin to heal all those past whatevers, those little skeletons that we all have stuffed in our closet. Begin to heal that and claim now, claim this moment. Don't give it away by dealing, you know, and staying focused in the past. And remember, this is really a good one, remember that the universe or God says yes to everything. Yes to everything. So be aware of how you are creating your reality. Whether you're in negative states a lot of the time.
Watch out what you wish for.
That's right, because you might, it might just manifest for you. You know, your thoughts are things. Your thoughts and your words are things. They're not just errant little nothings. It's energy. So be aware, because the universe does say yes. Okay, when your heart is open, your emotions are softer, you won't be so judgmental, and you won't be so willing to accept others' judgments about you. You'll know what the truth is about you and be able to let their judgments about you just pass through you, instead of going, yeah, they're right. I am whatever. I am tacky, or I am angry a lot, or whatever, you know, or I am overweight, or I am too skinny, or whatever it might be. Just let that stuff flow through you.
There's a meditation Richard Moss did, and then later I took it out of the context and just started using it in my life. And the meditation is, you just, you know, you get in a space and say yes, 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 and you just keep, it's like the energy keeps shifting. And in your day-to-day life, as things come up, you just say yes. And it's like totally non-resistant.
Neither
this nor that. It's like, yes, this is the is, this is the now. And it's just, and it shifts again, you say yes. And you just keep moving into it, moving right through stuff. And don't treat it as maybe not necessarily, treat reality lightly. Reality is created in each moment. And it's in your perception. And don't take reality so seriously and say, this is real. And just say yes. And just accept it, love it, and just move, let it, allow it to move through you.
Yeah. So, then you've heard us talk too about how all of us are interconnected. We're not separate. We're really all one. There's so much.
The more you work with this, the more you're going to realize that.
It's so wonderful. It just makes life become so wondrous and so beautiful and full of joy. When you realize that we're all together in this, it's up to each of us to lift the consciousness of the planet, to lift our own consciousness. That's how the planet will evolve and how the races will evolve. Up to each of us by the love that we have within us. Let that flow out. Give it to ourselves and then give it to others, to the world around us. And you begin to see how wondrous each each person is, each race. I was in a bar the other night with a friend waiting for dinner, and we were just overawed by the uniqueness of all these people that were flowing in and out, every age, every shape and size. And I loved it. I haven't been in a bar in a long time, and I forgot how fun that is. Just to be a people watcher, you know. Mm-hmm. We're all so wonderful, just in the way we've created our bodies. It's just amazing. Okay, and then the final thing I wanted to say is that to be clear and spiritual is not to feel strange or different, you know, or apart, but to be one with the knowing, that knowing within of who you are, where you came from, and where you're going. And the knowing about the truth about us is that we are light beings in these bodies. And there is nothing that is not attainable to us if we just open our hearts to the good that's waiting to flow into us.
Also, too, none of us here, even though it's like you can be alone in a room, we don't realize how supported we are by...
Put that out over there.
Hey,
hold the joy down.
We are. It takes, there are a lot of beings, really loving beings, working with each one of us, helping us to shift, helping us to transform, helping us to, you know, not walk out the street when we're, you know, not get run over by cars now and then. And I used to deal with, I grew up in a family of five kids, and we had a little teeny house, and I was never by myself, ever. And yet I always felt absolutely alone, always. And finally, I worked through it. I found out what it was and had to do with the past life. And this is a woman who, it's not important, but anyway, everybody in her family had died, and she hadn't died, and she was just out in the middle of nowhere in the country, and she was mourning for these people who died, and she was so alone. And I was going crazy because I had this little kid, and so I sent my son, psychically, I sent him down the road to this woman's house, and she could feed him milk and cookies, and they'd have a good time, and I'd get space alone. And now for the first time in my life, I'm getting space alone, and I'm loving it. And it's different. I feel really supported, and I don't ever feel alone. I'm really conscious and aware. And it was one of the things guides had told me, is this being needs to know she's never alone. And I feel the same thing in here. It's real weird because we're taught that, I mean, the things we feel and stuff, you realize that not everybody is ever in the same space you are. And what you feel is so unique that we tend to feel cut off and alone, that nobody understands. And yet we really are supported, and there really are a lot of very loving beings who just aren't in the physical, who are loving us, supporting us, guiding us, and with us all the time.
Yeah.
And you start getting really soft and you start realizing that taken care of.
Yeah. There have been a lot of beings with us through this class, and one of the ways that they learn is by observing our process. There are many who agree to be teacher guides or just guardian angels or whatever. They make a commitment to work with you through your time on the earth, and they can't do anything that will change your path or anything like that, but they constantly send you inspiration, love, guidance. They send protective energies when you may be in a stressful or a fear situation, something like that. So it's a wonderful kingdom that's parallel with us.
Yeah, and it gets really fascinating, too, in that when you start getting in the vibration of love and you're in meditation, sometimes you'll be sitting there and you can feel like this. Mm-hmm. And everything shifts.
That's true.
And what it is sometimes, it's like I've gotten to where I consciously invite it. But when you start to get loving, there are certain beings who've chosen, they'll never be in a physical form. That's not what they've chosen to do. That's not who they are. And yet, and they're so fine that they couldn't even move in or experience the basic who we are. It's like they can watch from a distance. But if you can get into the love space, they can actually come in and feel like mm-hmm. what you feel like. And it's really neat for them, and it's really neat for you, because their consciousness is real love. I mean, just so different and so special. And when you can allow them to move into that, they give you a gift and you give them a gift. And so it gets real exciting. You start becoming like co-creators of the universe besides just your own reality. You're helping other beings when they're helping you. Mm-hmm. It's really fun.
Yeah, the expansion is never ending. There's
never
no ending to the expansion.
Ron always says, if you think you're there, you're not.
That's right. That's very true. It's a good point. If you yeah. think you've reached it, take a look again. The universe will probably go, oh yeah, try this one on for size. So anyway, the other thing I wanted to mention is to remember that everything you do in your life or everything that happens to you is spiritual. There isn't just one thing or two things or three that are spiritual. The whole thing is spiritual. Everything that you're doing. Okay? That's kind of a hard one to grab onto at first, maybe. But everything that we do is spiritual. People who do readings or healings or whatever are no more advanced or spiritual and just the person who's out there doing his job or at home raising her children or whatever. There is no difference. It just is, the path is a little different. Everything that everyone is doing is spiritual. We are all on the same path. Just have many and wondrous ways of going back to the source. So the wonderful and amazing thing is, rather than our differences, is really at the heart of us how similar we are. How similar we are.
This may be obvious, and I just realized it may not be, but everything we're doing is energy. Everything that happens in your life, everything that happens in the day, who we are and what we're working with is energy. And when you start looking at the patterns beyond the we're really used to looking at the physical outcome, the physical manifestation, and start watching the energy behind the things in your life. What's the energy behind this? What's the energy behind that? What's the energy behind my motivation? What am I creating? And start actually viewing the world as energy. And the manifestation of our use of our energy, we're manifesting here. This is a great level of consciousness. What we're doing here is incredible because what we think, we manifest. What we're doing with our energy manifests. And we get to look at that. It may manifest in just millions of ways. And it may be the same energy pattern that keeps coming back in a lot of different faces, a lot of different costumes or whatever. And stop looking at the manifestation and start looking at the energy in your life.
So the gateway to your higher self really is through your heart. It's the way to open and expand yourself and tap into your other levels, and there are many, many other levels that we have access to. We just aren't aware of it. So as you take these concepts into your life and plug them into your belief systems, however they fit there, you're going to just begin to expand further and further. You may begin to have wonderful dreams. Any number of things can happen. You may begin to open psychically. That is a step along the path. It is not the end of the path or something to even be desired. It's just a step or a tool that assists some people in their path. So that may happen too. When Ro was talking about being in meditation, I have to share with you, I thought about this and I forgot. That's what I was laughing about. One time I was sitting under a hair dryer, and it was over in that chair. This is several years ago now. I think it was that chair or another one we had like it. And I was kind of in a meditative state. You know, it was so warm and cushy under there, and the dryers made this wonderful sound. You know, I mean, I was just out of it. And I heard a voice start speaking to me so clearly that I jumped out of the chair. I turned the dryer off real quick, and I thought somebody was right there trying to surprise me, you know, or be silly behind the chair. There was nobody there. I had just been in an aware enough or open enough state that I was clairaudient for the moment and was able to hear what they were trying to say to me. It was a wonderful message. But I was certain there was a physical person standing behind my chair. That's how clearly I heard the words. But of course, I didn't hear it with my physical ears, but I thought I did. So anyway, that's just it's just part of moving forward on the path for some people. Not for everybody, but some people go through it.
Also, too, sometimes my husband teaches a class in psychic development. When you start to move into this, one of the natural things, because what we're talking about is that you're not limited to this dimension. Some people do start to see certain things, and they may think there's somebody standing there or something. Mm-hmm. And one, if you see it, it probably exists. But two, know that you're really protected. And if you're on the vibration of love, that's all there is. That's your reality, and therefore that's all there is.
That's all that will be attracted to.
That's all that can really come in. And same as like the beings who are love can't move into this physical manifestation unless you're really in a loving, expanded space. It's the same thing with your consciousness. Your space goes out a long ways. And they can't even come into your life if it's not a shared vibration. So just be really loving. And if stuff starts to happen, it seems a little odd or magical, just be really light and loving. And not, if you see fears come up, just kind of look at them and send them along.
That's a good way to put it, more into the magic. I like that phrase. Okay, does anybody have any questions, or do you want some more information about anything or anything like that at this point? Why, you guys are great. You've all got it. All right. Okay, well, that's about all I wanted to share about that concept. Let's see, what have I got? I want to give you a copy of the concepts. Sorry, I could have gone the other way then. And I hope there's enough for everybody. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
How
There's exactly 10.
That's what it meant to be.
That's right. That's what they told me. They said you only need 10 copies, and I went, "Oh, I do? Okay." Now, on this one, it didn't quite work out that way. So maybe somebody isn't interested in this. I don't know. Let's see how many I've got here. 4, 5.